Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I moved out of the room with the high ceilings into a room with smaller ceilings. Jesus, excuse me, but still working on the sound. Bear with me. I was going to go live on StreamYard this morning, but you know what? I just got out of the shower about a couple hours ago, washed my hair. I got a towel wrapped around my head. No, maybe next week. See, never plan anything. This is my practice. I really don't plan too much, only inspired, and I'm just able to shift from one plan to the next. Just, okay, this isn't happening, next moment. Woo, let me give you the proper introduction, especially to new listeners. I'm getting new followers, new listeners. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for sharing the show. Reality Spirituality Radio with that crazy woman who claims to be a happiness specialist. That's right. That's me. Happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, oracle, but most importantly, an ongoing student, always learning, always changing, always shifting, gaining more awareness, and shifting the energy. I cannot wait to get into today's topic. But before I do, let me just do a little bit of housekeeping. When I say happiness, some people, oh, also, let me say, if you want to call in and speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you're listening on Wisdom, just ask to connect. Also, on my YouTube channel, guess what? My son and I are doing a show. It's called Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Plus more. And we're just putting it together. It's live every Saturday morning at 9:15 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Oh, and things are moving, but the practice is, when I say happiness specialist, my practice is not to have any attachments to an outcome, to a timeline, to this should have been happening yesterday. No, listen, I'm 68 years old. That's right. Don't tell anybody. 68, and I am just, it's so easy just to sit in the passenger seat now. Well, scratch that. It's not always easy, but it's a lot easier than it was 5-10 years ago. And today's topic is you versus them, plus the truth about desires. I talked about this desires and having wants and desires and how the world, the masses say, oh, yes, I desire, I want, I want to manifest. We're going to get into the truth about desires. But let me just do a little bit more of an introduction, especially for you people that have never listened to me before. Oh, also, just a little warning. Inevitably, I've been teaching the classes The Truth About Happiness for over 15 years. In California, in Oregon, and now in Nevada. And I get a lot of, believe it or not, a lot of hate mail. And you may be triggered. Your buttons may be pushed, and that's okay. I get my buttons pushed, and I get my triggers triggered also. But you know what I practice? I know that if I have a button and it's pushed or I'm triggered, guess what? I know it's my responsibility to do a deep dive and figure out how to eliminate that, how to soften that trigger. There's a difference between a trigger that, bam, just hits you, and then when the practice is when you commit and when you prioritize this thing called happiness. And let me be very clear, I'm not talking about something happens and now you're happy. I'm not even talking about a specific event. I'm talking about the journey. My favorite quote from Abraham, it's actually the only quote I share, is you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Wait, yes. So it is about the journey, the moment by moment, present moments, stringing them together, and how are you responding to the moment, or are you reacting? And if you are reacting, know that it is a program. Just very briefly, with this, when I say program, whatever you weren't born with, whatever worrying, blaming someone else, having a preference, complaining. That's not how you popped out of the womb. You didn't pop out of the womb knowing how to complain, knowing how to compare yourself to others. So when I talk about the programming, it's all of those behaviors that were downloaded, brainwashed, conditioned, programmed. And it is the programs that cause the suffering. Not the actual event, but the programs and the stories behind what has happened, behind the events. And that's one of the practices, that letting go of these stories, letting go of thinking I know, thinking that I can come up with a conclusion. Well, the ego has a conclusion. The ego comes up with a scenario, and be very mindful of using that word because. And what comes after that? I'm feeling this way because I was looking on Facebook, and I usually maybe once in a blue moon go through Facebook, and my friends that I care about, and one of them was having a really challenging moment with a business that they hired, and come to find out that they were paying this business to oversee all of their, I don't know all of their, but a lot of their social media. In other words, they were paying this business to pay for that would Zoom accounts. In other words, they got a special discount, so they paid the business, and the business paid their accounts. And one of their accounts was a Zoom account. Now, I think this was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. I lose all track of time. When I ask the universe to keep me in the present moment, how do I stay in the present moment? The universe so wisely is deleting my memory path. And it's really a practice staying in, living in the present moment. But I digress. Back to the story. And so they were very upset because they found out that this company not only wasn't paying the bills after 6 months, but wasn't paying the bills to a lot of their clients and customers. So they were keeping the money. And this person was angry and shared and vented online the story. Didn't name the company, but just shared that. Can you believe? It wasn't with that energy, but was really frustrated. I mean, it was a scam. I've been scammed. I've been scammed more than once with over thousands of dollars. More than once. And Lord knows that you F with me, you're going to have a problem. Well, that was that person that Rebecca Norrington in the past. I'm not saying that I'm not going to go and fight or come up with a solution, but I've really softened with this them against me, someone's doing something to me, I'm a victim. But let me get back to the story. So they were saying that they were so angry, and I responded back, well, that anger, of course, anger, being human, you're just going to feel a lot of different emotions at a lot of different times. But I will be damned if I put a story as to why I'm angry. And so one of the things that they did was that I'm angry because. And I just wrote back and I said, you know, the volcano erupts when it's time for the volcano to erupt. There's no story behind it. So one of the programs is to, when I say program behaviors, when I say eliminate the program behaviors, or at least be mindful that this is a program, when I talk about that, one of the programs is to attach a story as to why you're feeling a certain way. I'm feeling sad because. I'm feeling lonely because. I'm here to say that is just another program. How about shifting and using this perspective or not? I'm feeling, and this is another challenge. You ready for this? Put your seatbelt on. I'm feeling because I'm human. This is the dimension to feel. I'm not even going to label my emotions. I'm not going to label them rage or anger or sadness or annoyance. I'm just feeling. That's another level. That's another level of practice. Don't think I've mastered it. But that's just another level. And being mindful of the programming and the world, the masses, feeds on the programmed. Feeds on it. The people. Fear is something to feed on. That the masses feed on. The other thing is dissatisfaction. You know the biggest, you might as well be in a car lot at a dealership. People are selling dissatisfaction all the time. If you didn't sell dissatisfaction, how are you going to make a living? Did I say that out loud? The selling dissatisfaction, and I'm here to say that's another program. If you are vibrating a sense of dissatisfaction in this moment, I promise you, you are going to be vibrating dissatisfaction in all your future moments too. But let me get to today's topic. Again, the number to call in and if you want to speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. So when I did write back and I shared that with my friend that you're angry, you may be angry, you may be feeling those emotions, but practice not attaching a story as to why. I know it's a little different. Scratch that. I know it's a lot different. And so the response was, let me think about that. And the other practice is having a preference for how you want to feel. Having a preference of feelings. That's another program that is going to be sure to subtract from your happiness. And let me be clear. When I say happiness, I'm not talking about I'm happy, woo-wee. I'm talking about a personal vibration of contentment, a vibration of peace, an energy of peace that is rooted in your soul. That is who you are. That becomes your identity. Contentment becomes your identity. Woo-wee. Let me write that one down. I think that was pretty good. Contentment. And so how do you live? How do you practice that? You practice that by staying in a neutral energy zone. Everything's neutral. This isn't good. This isn't a good day. This isn't a bad day. It's just, you're just always in a state of neutrality, if that makes sense. Hopefully it does. My definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. Happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. That means regardless of what life throws at you, regardless. Happiness is a state in mind. Happiness is a vibration of contentment. And guess what? The good news is, you ready for this? Ooh, wee, this is your lucky day. Happiness is a practiced skill, just like any other skill, from acting to dance to being a professional dancer, a musician, an opera singer. It's a practiced skill. A landscaper, a painter, a waiter, a chef, it's a practice. And if I can practice it, you can too. And I'm up to 55 programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your vibration of contentment. Isn't that a lot? Okay, let's get to today's topic. Ooh-wee! You versus them. I teach the class, I've been teaching these classes, The Truth About Happiness, for 15 years. I said that earlier. And one of the things I love to give homework assignments. And this is an example of one of the homework assignments. This is the first homework assignment of the first class. Now, of course, guess what? They're not required to do the homework, but I put it out there anyway. And so the questions on the first week are, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? Only you can answer that. And then number 2, what is your definition of happiness? Number 3, who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? And again, when I say happiness, sometimes these words are triggering. And I'm here to tell you that if a word triggers you, you got some work to do in the mirror. Allowing a word, man-made letters strung together, and now you're triggered, you're just programmed. There is not one word that can trigger me today. Hold on, let me think about that. Hold on, let me think about a word. No, that's not true. No, that's not true. That's not true. But it's not those words that everybody thinks about, the N-word or the R-word not those kind of words, or the F-word. No, it's kind of crazy, but being a Toastmaster, this English language is very important. So when slang is used, oh, gosh, sometimes it's a little, why aren't you using the English language correctly? Like I always do. Anyway, back to the questions. Number four, are you as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? And then I ask these questions, which I require a yes or a no. No stories, no maybes, yes or no. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? And if you answer yes to any of those, know that you're just operating from a program. And it's up to you, your responsibility, to eliminate those programs one by one, especially if you want to vibrate this energy of contentment. You got work to do. If I told you I had the answer to all of your problems, I had the solutions to all of your challenges for the rest of your life, guess what the answer is? It's a mirror. Oh, thank you. It's a mirror. The awareness is the work, and only you, not anybody else, only you, you are responsible for doing the work. You are responsible for looking. You are responsible for doing that mirror work. And there's nobody else in the mirror but you. And that's one of the reasons why That's one of the reasons why I have people walking out of the class the first day, walking out of the class the next week, and if I start with a class full of 50 people by the end, maybe there's 20 left. Maybe. I'm used to it. It's not personal. Let's get back to today's topic. Today's topic is, well, we have two topics. We have two topics. And the first one is you versus them. You know, let me circle back really quickly to this one question, which says, can other people disappoint you? And if you've answered yes to that, the solution is very simple. It's not an easy practice, but the solution is you want to eliminate all heartbreak and all disappointment for the rest of your life. I promise this works 100%, no exceptions. Practice having zero expectations. Did I say some? Maybe a little bit. No. Practice having zero expectations. Zero expectations. You will never be disappointed. You will never have your heart broken again. I'm chatting with someone that I've known for almost 50 years. I don't know if we're going to be talking in the next month, but it's the moment. It's not the future. Zero expectations, especially for something to manifest. Especially wanting something to happen for in the future, especially having a desire. Should I do desires first? Okay, let me just do desires first since I'm here. This thing that the world teaches wants and desires, oh, that's normal. Yes, desires are normal. Okay, keep your desires. I've gotten to a point right now, and now when I say I'm a global happiness specialist, the leading global specialist, I have zero wants and zero desires. None. I've given it up. What if? Why? Because of 45 years, scratch the VA, 45 years of this practice, if there is anything that is there, if there is anything that is supposed to, okay, let me say this a different way. Whatever you are supposed to experience on this journey we call life, you will. You think God is going to be stopped by anything you do or you say? So this thing about self-sabotage, energy blocks, what else? All of that. I'm not buying into that. And if there is something that I desire, know that what entity is desiring in the first place? What entity has the desire? It is a program to want something other than. Scratch that. It is a program to want something more than this moment is providing. It's a program to desire. And where do desires come from? Where do desires come from? They come from that entity. I call it the ego. You can call it whatever you want. Some people call it evil. I listened to, oh my gosh, I found this gentleman. Oh my, he's so funny. And he says that, I'm not going to divulge that yet. Anyway, he's talking about having desires are evil. I'm not going to throw that out there. But having a desire other than what I already am experiencing, it first of all, desires bring about what? Number one, now I've got to wait. If I have a desire, I'm waiting for it to manifest. If I'm waiting, I'm in a state of anxiety. I'm in a state of suffering. I'm not in the present moment. I'm just speaking for myself. This is my perspective. And by the way, I don't pretend to have all of the answers, but what I do share is what I've practiced. And if it resonates with you, yay, we clap. And if it resonates with you, yay. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. I'm just here to offer another perspective. So back to desiring. I desire. I want something to happen. I want something that I think, here we go, I think it would be good for me. It would serve me. And I'm here to tell you that this practice or letting go of all wants and desires, it's probably been at least 10 years. I don't want or desire anything other than what the universe or what God has planned. That's it. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to manifest. I don't have to think about what I would want. No. Whatever the universe has planned for me, I'm good. And you know what? Do you think that whatever your desire or your want is, if God or the universe doesn't sign off on it, doesn't say, okay, push that through the production line, okay, it's going to happen? So let go. This dimension where I am is a dimension of just experiencing. Experiencing without judgment. Experiencing with that vibration of satisfaction. And you can feel that contentment. You can feel when you feel that yeah, everything is in order. And you can have that feeling. You can practice that feeling all the time. What? All the time. It's a practice. So get back to desiring and how desiring causes anxiety. Maybe a mild desire, maybe mild anxiety, but then you get an addiction to that anxiety. And then that anxiety waiting for something to happen, wanting something to happen, waiting for the manifestation, then that waiting and wanting becomes that anxiety becomes a normal state. That becomes the set point. Let me share a story. I love football. I don't love it as much as I used to. I'm letting go of so many things. But back in the day, I mean, I had my team. I had my favorite people, favorite quarterbacks. And then not only did I have my favorite teams, I had teams that I hated. Woo! I had teams that I couldn't stand. In other words, if my team wasn't playing, I would root for the other team to lose. Do you know how much anxiety that caused? How much angst? And if the team that I hated, and I'm using air quotes, if the team that I hated won, I would be bothered. And I'm talking about years ago. Fast forward, because I was in Oregon, so this was probably 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and my team was in the Super Bowl. And at the end, you know what? Scratch that. My team is New England. I love Tom Brady. I love Bill Belichick. And my team was New England. And let me just give you a little backstory really quick. I don't like rooting for losers. So I'm one of those fair weather fans since Brady left, and then when Brady left and went to Tampa Bay, I was rooting for Tampa Bay. I actually had two teams. I rooted for New England and Tampa Bay. But that was three years ago. But listen, so now I'm at a place where I have new teams and I have new players that I like. Again, I'm very fickle. But this energy of having a team and wanting the other team to lose or the other team to win, especially if I'm watching the game live, caused a lot of anxiety. up and down. I mean, come on, if you're a sports fan, you can relate to this, whether it's football or anything, any team you're rooting for. And I shared this with my class last week. Here's the solution, because I didn't like that feeling of up and down and up and down and, oh, we're winning, oh, we're losing. And then I was deflated. You know, it's a roller coaster. So what I started doing is taping all of the football games I wanted to watch. I would tape the entire game. I could watch the entire game, a three-hour football game in a half hour. I would fast forward through all the commercials, of course, and fast forward. And I would only watch the team that I was rooting for. I didn't want to watch the other team, you know, making their plays. I mean, I got this down to a science. But back to the Super Bowl that was just a month ago. And yeah, I had a team I was rooting for. I taped the entire game. And then, after the game was over, I went online and I said, well, which team won? And if my team didn't win, and it didn't, I didn't watch the game. Problem solved. Anxiety solved. Back up to this desires and having preferences and having wants. It is a game. It is a strategy. Excuse me. Hold on a second. I need to take a swig of water. Hold on. Thank you for your patience. One of these days I'm going to have a professional set with a cough button, but I don't have that now. It's not a desire. It's just it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Back to the solution. There is a solution for each and every one of you listening. There is a solution that will keep you in a state of a calm, cool vibration of contentment regardless of what happens. You just have to look for it and be creative with it. Be creative. Again, back to the circling back from the wants and desires. I don't have any desires or any wants other than what the universe has planned for me. I'm cool with the plan, God. Let me just sit back and enjoy it. That's the best planner anyway. My ego thinks that it knows what's best. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Let's go to the other topic. Oh, here we go. You versus them. One of my students in the Truth About Happiness class, they were turning, it was a homework assignment, and the question was, what type of people annoy you? What type of people annoy you? What type of people bother you? What type of people you can't stand? I mean, let me get to the front of the line here. Years ago, I could write out a list of the type of people I don't like, or the type of people, scratch that, how about this, the type of people, and especially now, in the present moment, the type of people is just incompatible energy. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. The sun shines, well, stop saying, I know what you're thinking. There's nothing wrong with me. Is there a question mark? The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. Back to the question. So I asked the class, what type of people annoy you? And I received an answer back which sounds, here we go, quite noble, darling. Oh, you know, the type of people that annoy me are the people with lack of compassion, the people with lack of empathy and compassion. Oh, those people. They're the dregs of society. Now, one of the things that, put your seatbelt on. Oh, you know what, just keep your seatbelt on. Anytime you're listening to me, just keep a seatbelt on, crash helmet, just keep all of your protective gear on. Keep it on. the question, the answer, people that lack compassion and people that lack empathy. And isn't that a noble answer? And when I say noble, I'm using air quotes because that's another program, this idea that what's noble and what's not. Oh, even anger. I can justify anger. Oh, that's noble. That's another program, but that's another topic for another day. Back to I don't like people that have no compassion or no empathy. Okay. And then I respond with this. And remember I talked about earlier that all of the work is done in the mirror. In fact, the work, I mean, the awareness is the work. Know that. The practice is being aware. Aware of your behavior, aware of your thoughts. No identifying with the thoughts or stories, but be aware. The awareness is the work. And some of you out there aren't aware. You're walking around robotically, reacting to this life, reacting as opposed to responding. Responding requires consciousness. Reacting is a program. Back to the point. So I read the answer. Oh, people that lack compassion, people that lack empathy. Well, whatever you label someone, when I say you versus them, which side would you want programmed? Which side would you want to be on? Oh, I want to be on the side that of course has compassion. I want to be on the side that has empathy. And I'm just doing the extra for the effect. You know, it's a little drama, just a little drama, not too much. But guess what? Where is your compassion and where is your empathy for people that don't have compassion or empathy? Where's your compassion then? When I say you versus them, for a long time, there was me versus them. I knew what type of people that I wanted to align myself, associate myself with, and I knew the type that I did not. And let me give you something that happened yesterday. This is a topic that you're either, probably 98%, you have one view or the other view. And I'm talking about abortion. And I've never talked about abortion on this show in 15 years. But I want to give, this is a great example. So I was at the gym yesterday, and the desk monitor, he was sharing with me how his granddaughter is pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. And there was sex reveal. I guess it's a big thing now. It's a reveal party. That's what it was. It was a reveal party. He told me that it looked like a theater. They showed a movie. They showed a movie of this baby, this fetus. It was the granddaughter. This was when the granddaughter was 2 months pregnant. And they showed a movie. I don't know. Was it a sonogram? I don't know. My son's 39. All I got was an X-ray picture, and I thought, oh, he's a boy. There's his penis. Woo! But that was 39 years ago. Now they're able to take movies of the fetus inside the womb, and he shared with me. He says, you know, Rebecca, if more people could see this movie at two months. And how the fingers are moving, and how the heart is beating, and how this is a baby. So that's what he said. I'm saying fetus, he said baby. And forget the word. Whatever word you want to use, this is a living being inside. And he said to me, if people could look at this movie and understand that this is a living creature, this is a living human being even though it's only 2 months old. He said there would be nobody, I don't believe anybody would want to have an abortion because they could see that they would be killing a baby. That's what he told me. And that's when I say you versus them. So he was obviously against all people that were pro-abortion. Follow me with this. Follow me. And then I told him my story. I was adopted. I was the fifth child of a woman that had six children. I was the fifth child of a woman that had six children. And the woman was black, and so she was having, she was getting paid to have sex with her boss. Her boss was paying her to have sex, and her boss happened to be white. He was Jewish, happened to be white, Jewish, whatever term you want to use. And so I popped out looking totally different than everybody in the family. And the husband knew, oops, something's missing, something's up. And I was put up for adoption because her husband couldn't live with me being that different. I mean, everybody in that family was darker, and I popped out looking different. And so he knew it wasn't his child, and they put me up for adoption. Now, I told that story to the death monitor yesterday, and I said, yeah, that's an example of not having an abortion. Or if my biological mother had, I wouldn't be here. Obvious, state the obvious. Hold on a second. I got to take another swig of water. H2O. Getting all choked up. Again, next week, I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting this show live on YouTube and StreamYard. Anyway, I digress. Using the microphone, back to the story. So I am an example of someone who went through the pregnancy, the 9 months, and I was allowed to live. When I listened to him explaining, and I'm not going to say what side I lean towards or don't lean towards, because quite frankly, my dear audience, I'm done with having a side. I'm over with having a preference. And the reason is having a preference, having a side does not add to contentment. The universe allows, God allows all of this shit to happen on this planet from what humans say is good and is horrific. God allows all of it. And since I am conscious energy, having a human experience, my practice moving forward, and it's been in the works for a while, but I'm kicking it up a notch. I told you I'm 68. I'm in the fourth quarter, and there's commercials I've already played. I'm kicking it up a notch, and I wanted to share this you versus them, this pro-abortion versus pro-life, anti-abortion, pro-abortion, pro-life, and what? Can you get to a place? Can you get to a place that you can practice acceptance of both sides? Or and I'm just sharing. I would never and I mean never accept, especially a side that I knew was wrong. You hear this? I knew. And let me tell you, that's another trick of the ego. The ego always knows. The ego knows the truth about everything, everything. Again, if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646 564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about, well, scratch that. I don't know if nobody's talking about it. But I don't hear too many people embracing the opposite side. But when you make a decision or when you decide that on a scale from 1 to 10, happiness, contentment, inner peace is a 10, the practice is acceptance of both. Oh, gosh, I know. I know it even hurts me to say it. It hurts my ego. Acceptance of both sides. How can that be? How can I accept pro-life, pro-abortion? How can I do that? Not part of the program. The programming is to have a side and stick to it. I'll give you another thing, and I'm not talking about not being active or doing what you feel inspired to do. Oh, let me throw this into you now that I have you annoyed and bothered and triggered. Here we go. What was my, oh, shoot, what was it? Trigger. Oh, okay, yes, I remember. Okay, you're not going to like this. Having a cause, that's actually, let's see what number it is, it's level. When I say program behaviors that subtract from happiness, where's my list? Because there's a level, there are levels to it. Oh, here we go. Program behaviors that subtract from happiness, level 3. Hold on. Level 3. Oh, I'll get to you in a minute. In the queue, I'll get to you in a minute. Having a cause. Now, having a cause is not really the problem or the issue. The issue is wanting someone else to think that what you think is important. Wanting someone else to believe that your cause, wanting someone else to think that your cause is important. Yes. Everyone needs to think that what I believe is a good cause. Everyone needs to agree with me. Hold on a second, and let me. I'll go. I have a few people in the queue. Hold on, just a second. Give me 2 minutes. Back to this. Did I say causes? Oh, having two sides. Of course, you versus them. Let me give you another example, and then I'll go to my caller. And if you're on Wisdom, just ask to connect. And then if you want to speak with me live, 646-564-9619. Here we go. Back in, what was it, 1990s, mid-90s, O.J. Simpson murdered two people, Nicole Simpson and Ron Goodman, Goldman. Goldman. I believe it's Goldman or Goodman. No, it's Goldman. I forgot. I'm living in an area, and O.J. Simpson lives in Las Vegas now. I'm living in an area where O.J. Simpson frequents, and in fact, there's this one restaurant that I know that I heard that he, one of his favorites. In the 90s, in the 2000s, even after that, I'll never forget it. If I ever see him, I've got something to say. You murderer. Oh, I mean, I was consumed. I watched the whole trial. I was consumed. And I knew that if I ever saw or ran into this murderer, I'm using air, to this murderer, not to say that he didn't, the man murdered those two people. Scratch all of that. That is the truth. But backing up, but it's this hate, this rage I felt that this murderer was walking free. And in fact, he was in Las Vegas and he was arrested for trying to sell his memorabilia or trying to, it was a big deal. And when he went to jail in Las Vegas, I said, yes, justice, yes. Give me your little background, and then I'm going to go right to the caller. Now, having that much hate or disdain for someone else, justified, noble, whatever label word you want to attach to it, and being in this practice now at 68, I can't even believe that I'm saying this. But I already know, because this restaurant that he frequents, it's one of my favorites. And I even asked the chef a couple of weeks ago, do you see him in this restaurant? Yeah, he comes. He doesn't come as much as he used to, but he's still, you know, from time to time. And I just remember knowing that before, if I ever saw him, the rage that I would greet him with, that I would spew on him. And it's the same kind of rage now I'm really getting off track. It's the same, if you go to YouTube and just search serial killer cries, there it's a very powerful video about this man who murdered at least 40, 50 women, and how their family members during his sentencing, they were spewing all of this hate towards him, justifiably so. And I was the same way, you know, with this OJ. Oh, God, if I ever seen him. Ah! And now to this point, right now to this point where I can say that all of that softened, where this rage that I had is dissipated to the point where that I know that if I see him, if I ever do, I don't have that rage. And I'm not running around, oh, I'm just better. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the evolution of the practice, that if contentment, all of that is important, I can't have rage. I can't have disdain. I can't have hate for someone else. Let me go to this caller. Hold on. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Hold on. Let me do this. Click on this. Click on that. Let me do this. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for your patience. What's your first name?
Hey, Rebecca. It's Jay calling from Canada. How's it going? Listen to your
podcast. Hi,
here.
Welcome. Welcome.
You got off the rails a bit, being in the middle of the road. You got off to the desire of emotional topic you'd like to talk about regarding O.J. Simpson. So
I know. You know me. Lord have mercy. And let me just say this really. It comes down to who I used to be and what type of energy I am now. That's really the point. But keep going.
Yeah, you know, I think so right now, I think is that I'm asking some of the questions is that the questions I ask now more often is it worth it or was it worth it? And I feel that sometimes when you're in a dilemma where maybe it's life and death, I think you got to make those decisions really quick, okay? But when it comes to desire, I feel that I'm just putting it together. I think technology has really put us in a position where it really depletes our dopamine levels to a point where we want that constant craving of dopamine levels through media or through what we see on our visual screens in front of us to create that desire, whether we want it or not, I feel. And I don't think we gotta really stop when we have consciousness, we can stop that flow of, I don't know, desire or the desire of the dopamine levels to get up higher and higher and higher, to say no, this is not right. I should be concentrating on something else. And I think it has to do with our reptilian brain that's just like set dopamine levels right now, and on a constant level. Since I was thinking about that, you know, how many people swipe their phones each day? It's like 2,000, over 2,000. So you look at, it's like 2,000, over 2,000 Pavlov experiments a day, where you don't even have to have ring the bell. It just, you just look at it. You know, every, if you don't get the bell or the notification or the sound, that you look at your phone right away. You know, so I feel that technology is really an obstacle right now for a lot of things, including desire too, and creating desire.
Well, desire has always been there. It just now it's just concentrated. But you know what, Jay? I'm going to say that looking out into the world, and you're absolutely right. The programming is rampant. I don't know too many people that aren't programmed, and the phones and having the phones, all of that. But guess what? That's okay. It's my responsibility not to look and make a judgment, or not even to look and say, oh, look at them, can't stay away from their phone, can't stop looking at the phone, because that's in order too. So it always comes back to the person in the mirror, and am I talking about, focused on, do I have a story about someone other than who's in the mirror? And if the answer is yes, and that's even society, the world. If the answer is yes, my focus is on anything other than the person in the mirror, guess what? I've got work to do.
Yeah.
That's program number 5.25368. Noticing what somebody else is doing. Being in someone else's business. I promise you, when you start practicing letting go of these people and noticing what they're doing, you're going to feel a lot more peaceful, because they're on their journey and they're doing their thing. And it's different than your journey. It's different. My journey is different. But I don't have time to look at what other people are doing. I spent too many years doing that.
I'm just watching. I'm just observing right now. That's what I'm doing. I see that.
Observing, witnessing, watching without any story attached, without any judgment attached.
Well, you can actually, when you take a whole bunch of the observations, there's usually sometimes a common thread to each one of them, is there? Or that you have this presumption, I don't know if it's or just observation, why are people doing this more? And if it's common that you see in that, you can make some conclusions on it and still
retest
that.
Yes, but it's still none of my business.
But when you're confronted with it or in contact with those desires, then you have to question why is this going on right now?
And the answer is, the wanting to come up with a conclusion as to why, it's not my concern. That's the universe's job. There is a reason why. Do I understand it? No, and not, it's not my business. See, it's really. I'm just speaking for myself. I can't be concerned with other people are doing, watching television, looking at the phone. I mean, I see all the kids. I see the people walking. They're looking down at the phone. But so what? And that's, some are awake, some are asleep. I'm going to ignore that. Some are awake, some are asleep. And it's not, I get it. One of the biggest programs is to notice what other people are doing. When I'm noticing others, guess where? I'm not in the mirror anymore. I'm outside of the mirror. You know I love you so much. You know that. How many years has it been? 15 years together. 15 years, me and you, baby.
Lots of comments on your show. Lots of participation. So. Really great topics, as usual.
Thank you, Jay. I really appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Jay.
Yep.
Jay. Hold on a second. Hold on. I got all choked up. Remember, this was Hold on. I really need. Hold on. Okay. Remember when you called in, maybe it was 2 months ago or a month and a half ago, and we're talking about death, and I said,
well, yes.
This isn't a loss.
It's interesting you say that because I wanted to talk to you about what was the
quote?
Yes, what?
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, you said death is a loss, and I said another perspective, death is just change, it's not a loss. And something shifted with you. Something shifted. So I wanted to know what happened with that shift. If anything, would you like to share?
No, one thing I want to do is actually I want to put this quote that you said in my news. I write a new grief newsletter. I have one coming up in March, and I just want to put that in, just quote that for you, and say it's your quote, because I think that's really powerful, what you said. Really, really powerful. Because I find that death is, oh boy, what was the time we got left? Death is, we don't see as a change. We think we shouldn't have death, right? So it is a change. And you said something about that, death is a change, but not a loss. But you said something else about that, death is change, and something else you said. I was trying to find the episode that we were talking about that. I'm not sure what it is, but I can maybe, I can email you and just ask. I wonder what you said about that, because I like to put that quote in my next newsletter. I think that's a really powerful statement.
Okay, well, listen, if you know me, and you do, I don't remember what else I said. Oh, my God.
I have to find out what episode that was. Anyhow, it'll come to.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Well, thank you for being open to receiving that. And again, all I'm doing is offering a different perspective. And so the programming is death is lost, boo-hoo, gloom and doom. And I'm saying that there's another way of looking at it. And when, in fact, my son is 39, I mean, oh, my gosh, we joke about my death all the time. I know it's so incorrect, but we joke about it all the time. And my death, his death, who knows, but what did he say to me the other day? I may kick the bucket first, Mom. So it's really lightening up this whole programming around death, that it's serious, it's energy, it's seriousness. And it's just a shift. That's all it is. Oh, and Jay, you know what's a great movie, and everyone else listening? I mean, this is, if you like the Matrix, this is Matrix 2, I think. Doctor Strange 2016. Strange 2016. And it's a Marvel movie.
Yep.
It is excellent. And one of the quotes in that movie is, what did she say? The math, she said that death is what gives life meaning. Yeah, the inevitable death makes life meaningful or worthwhile. It's really a good movie, especially if you're on a spiritual tip. And it talks about surrendering. It talks about the ego. I just love this movie. I've seen it a lot now. And I just wanted to share that if anyone's interested. Doctor Strange, 2016 Marvel movie.
Good movie.
Okay, well, that's all for today. I really appreciate you, Jay. I really do. Yay! Anyone want to come up live on Wisdom? I guess not. So, wow. Another show. Let's see. Oh, beep, 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 beep. Let's go with. That's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. And now you can go to my website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, again, new YouTube videos. My son and I are doing a show called Mother and Son, Making Sense Out of Nonsense, Comedic Pause. Plus more. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And the second book, which is coming out soon, Program for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth in Less Than 2 Months. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend by accepting yourself in every moment, in whatever stage you're in, whatever challenge you're having. Just practice trusting that whatever you are experiencing is there for a reason, is there for your betterment, is there for your expansion, is there for your growth. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, leading global happiness. I like saying leading. Leading global happiness, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Remember, happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you're going to find. The more you practice, the more contentment you will feel. The more you practice self-awareness, you begin to eliminate those programs that causes the suffering. Not the event, not the circumstances. It's the stories behind the event and the circumstances. Have a conscious week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Now get out of here. Talk to you next week.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
Question for RLM.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers,
Reality,
baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you're gonna feel good now.